Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Insomnia Project, Season 8. This is Episode 1 of Season 8. We hope you enjoy our podcast. We want you to listen, relax, sit back, and enjoy. And hopefully this podcast will help you find your way to peace, sleep, rest, or just chill. I'm your host, Marco Timpano.
I'm Amanda Barker. I can't believe it's Season 8.
It's actually, if you think about it, Amanda, we've been doing this since January of 2015.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how many years?
I don't know.
That's more than 8 anyways. I can't think at the top of my head.
I don't
but,
do math. Oh, 8 years, yeah.
Is it 8? 15 to 23?
Well, 8.5 now.
8.5, sure. So
almost 9.
Is it?
Yeah. January 2015 is a very specific time that I remember. Okay. So my memory is an interesting thing. I was reading something about Julia Louis-Dreyfus and how she doesn't remember things. And I'm like, oh, God, I think that's me sometimes with podcasting. I don't remember what I've said or done.
Fair enough. But I do want to mention, since we're starting the season, if you haven't already given us a 5-star review, please do so. That certainly helps us. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. And if you can, please give us that 5-star review.
It supports us in so many ways. It takes but a minute. And it would just be a nice thing to put on your list of things to do today. So thank you. Also, you know, word of mouth is still the best marketing. We are wired for story, aren't we? All of us as humans. So tell your friends. Let them know what resonates about this podcast. I do that with all of my favorite podcasts and books, because as we know, I read.
You do. You certainly do.
And I think, you know, like I said, we're wired for story. So if there's a story or a place that we've talked about or a thing that we've talked about on the podcast that you've connected with, or something that really soothed you, helped you to sleep, or helps you relax, let people know. Word of mouth is the best marketing, and it always will be.
Speaking of journeys, Amanda, so we took a few weeks off, as we do at the end of each season, and we were able to sort of focus on things that we wanted to do.
We did.
And we had the opportunity to go on a most wonderful trip. And I thought I'd share this with our listeners, because I posted on Instagram photos of where we were, but I didn't say where we were because I wanted to wait.
Were people guessing?
People were guessing. People could sort of tell that we started off in eastern Canada, the most eastern part of Canada. So I did get some people clue into certain aspects of our trip, but not all. So we had an opportunity to fly from Toronto to St. John's, Newfoundland, and people recognize St. John's. So I was getting a lot of comments on the Instagram posts about St. John's. So kudos to you who recognized St. John's.
We booked this trip, I just want to say, 2 days before we did it.
So last
That's how
minute.
We roll, kids.
And part of the reason of the trip was Amanda just got her newest citizenship, which is Italian citizenship, because she's married to me and I'm an Italian citizen.
Last week of August, that's what happened, yeah.
So I'm a Canadian citizen, I'm an Italian citizen, thanks to my parents, or my dad in particular.
And now on the form, I had to fill out, as actors, sometimes we have to fill out these forms, and it asks for your citizenship, and you don't have much room in the box, so it's U.S. / CAN for Canada/EU, because now I'm an Italian citizen. I'm so proud of it, too.
So based on that, I said to Amanda, let's see if we can get an inexpensive trip to Italy or Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't. Not to mainland Europe, anyways.
Which is not a shocker. I mean, who has an expectation of, let's see what the cheap flight to Europe is? But sometimes...
Two days before.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you can strike gold with that. And if there's one thing that we love and we've always been aligned with in our relationship, it's travel, particularly cheap travel, last-minute travel, extemporaneous travel.
For sure. And so we sort of said, okay, no to mainland Europe, but then you had this brilliant idea, and this is where we're going to let you know where we were.
I did. So I have noticed in the last few years, Canada, our place of residence, has it was something we've never been able to experience that Europe has, and certainly the United States has, which is sort of cheap flights. It's never really been a thing, but we're in a point in aviation where there are some cheaper budget sort of carriers that are offering us cheap flights to destinations we couldn't otherwise go. So I found these cheap flights to St. John's, Newfoundland, and that's when I had an idea. Let's go to the islands of...
Saint-Pierre and Miquelon.
Saint-Pierre and Miquelon, which are two islands I've always wanted to go to for a very long time. They are off the southern shore of Newfoundland. And I say shore, but coast. I mean, they're far. You have to boat to them.
We ferried. Not that far.
Well, they're... An hour and a half ferry.
Which isn't far.
I know, but I'm making it sound like you could row a boat over. They're not that close.
You probably could. I think it's 17 miles or 17 kilometers.
Okay. In any event, back in the 1700s, when Canada was forming, and I shouldn't say when Canada, but what we know today as Canada was forming, obviously the indigenous culture was here for a long time, and it was a beautiful country. And, you know, the Europeans did what they did. And so the French and English particularly were, you know, battling over territories. And in that time, in the 1700s, France gave over Newfoundland. And again, I don't know the actual history on this, but that became part of English territory, British territory. Consequently, Newfoundland only joined Canada proper in the 1949. Yeah. So relatively recently, I guess, for country forming, that is, especially around here. But France held on to these two small islands off the southern coast, Saint-Pierre and Miquelon. And, you know, a lot of Canada became Canada, Quebec, and Canadian territory. However, France itself held on to these two islands, and these are French territory from France. So when you approach these islands, you are in Europe. You are in France. They use French, European outlets and voltages.
Electrical outlets.
Electrical outlets. They use the euro. You definitely have to bring your passport, and you are definitely entering France when you enter in. Believe it or not, it is France.
45 kilometers from the coast of Newfoundland to France in this case.
And people had speculated to us it'll be like a French Newfoundland. And I'm here to say it's not.
It was France.
It's France.
The moment we stepped on the ferry, which was a French ferry, which I found tricky because, you know, we're used to how North Americans schedule trains or ferries or planes. There's a very obvious sort of, you take this train, then you connect here.
Sure.
You take this plane, it'll arrive at this time. It didn't quite do that when I was trying to figure it out because we wanted to go from Fortune to Saint-Pierre to Miquelon.
But Fortune, Newfoundland. That's the ferry town.
Yeah. And, and there weren't ferry times that correlated or worked in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't obvious of whether you could take your car on the ferry schedule. You had to email them to let them know you wanted to take a car, right. And then they would email you back. So it was a little bit not what I was used to. It felt very much like when I lived in Europe.
Yeah.
So the second we stepped on, Amanda, those electrical outlets were the European style, the 220 volts on the ferry.
Yeah.
Everyone spoke French.
Yeah.
From France. France, yeah. French.
France, French. Not Quebecois French, which
is different.
Know, is different.
Equally wonderful, but
yeah,
different.
Just different.
Yeah.
And we felt it. And we've both spent time in France, so we had that comparable. And we've both spent time in Quebec and in other French pockets in Canada.
Certainly.
So we had all of that to compare it with. And we definitely were like, no, this is France, man.
From the baguettes they made.
Yeah. To the lack of ice in the drinks.
To the pastries, the French patisseries that I enjoyed.
And they were great.
They were fantastic. And we... So St. Pierre has about 5,000 people on it, and Miquelon, which is a larger island, and it's connected to, what's it?
Langlade.
But
it's called Miquelon, but then when you look at a map, they sort of have, the island of Miquelon is Miquelon and Langlade.
So Langlade doesn't get the credit it deserves.
No, I know you never hear St. Pierre, Miquelon, and Langlade.
And Langlade and St. Pierre are connected by a land bridge.
Yeah. So it's one island, but sort of, I think we said it was like a figure eight, or like, I think you compared it to glasses.
Yeah. Like specs, like John Lennon specs.
Yeah. Two sort of circular land masses
with a bridge.
A land bridge.
Or a glasses bridge.
That I don't think was created. I think it was always there.
500 people live on those connected islands. It's very rural.
Yeah.
So when we got there, we went to the tourist office, I guess you could call
it. But I want to say something before we get into the step-by-steps of both. Mm. And that was that because we first entered into St. Pierre and then the next day went to Miquelon.
Right.
But entering into that space, into that world of St. Pierre and Miquelon was magical. I don't have another way to explain it. They are special, special places.
Sure.
They're beautiful. They're tranquil. Yes, they're remote. The people are lovely.
Lovely.
A little more lovely than in France proper, but certainly in parts of rural France.
Sure.
I everyone has different experiences of Paris. I did live in France, so I have many different sort of versions of comparing it to, and I would say it was comparable to like an island off the coast of northern France.
Sure.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah, of course, every big city, the people aren't as friendly as in rural areas.
Totally, yeah.
And of course, Paris being one of the biggest cities in Europe, mm-hmm. you're not going to find the you know, care and time that people put into.
There is a French way of doing things, a French way of thinking about things, and that is absolutely present on these islands for sure.
So we hop on the ferry and head from St. Pierre to Miquelon the next day.
Mm-hmm.
It's once again about an hour, felt like an hour plus ferry.
Longer than I thought it would be, actually.
Definitely. And we get there, we go to the tourist office, and there's really not much to do on this island.
You step off the island. In both islands, you step off the island and there is a presence of a big church, which is pretty typical for French communities,
sure.
right? So Miquelon is much the same. You step off and there's a big church on the right side. And next to the church is what I would call a canteen, but like a little shack, like a food
wooden
shack.
A wooden food structure. So
yeah.
Picture you they did it, and by no means is it not look nice. It's a nice looking.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Food stand.
Yeah, I know shack. It's not ramshackle.
No, it's not ramshackle.
It's newer looking, like it's called Adrian's.
And you go there and that's where you get a coffee, or you get the coffee at the tourist office. And those are the two places I found where you could get a coffee.
By the way, the shack, they all call the food truck. Go to the food truck. So you're expecting a truck, but it's not a truck.
It's not a truck. It's a wooden structure that has seating.
Yeah. It's a wooden structure, yeah, with sort of open to the elements, but then you could probably batten it down when it got colder, I think.
With French soft drinks and beverages and iced teas.
Yeah, from France.
And water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like French iced tea, which is different.
Sure.
It is, yeah.
So we go there because we were informed by the tourist office that if we wanted to rent a bike, we should go to the food truck.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to the food truck, and I'm using air quotes because, like Amanda said, it wasn't a truck.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, we'd like to rent bikes. And the gentleman says to me, Adrian says to me, do you want a traditional bike or an electric bike? And I say, let's go for the electric bike, thinking it was more like a moped. But the electric bikes they had were just bikes that would assist you mm-hmm. with a little electrical burst, but you still had to pedal.
And that might be a Toronto thing, because I think when we say e-bikes, we are often thinking of a scooter.
Sure.
Kind of apparatus, like a moped that you plug in. That's what I had. I had right. two of them at one point. But I think, I know our friends in LA, when they say e-bikes, they're thinking of bikes that have an electrical assist.
Right.
So this was the latter.
No, this was the latter. And so he's like, I'll call Morgan. He calls Morgan. Morgan shows up 10 minutes later with some bikes, pulls them out. We hop in them mm-hmm. and away we go.
And I have never ridden a bike on a road. So this was a bit of a leap for me. When I was 10, I rode one. And when I was years ago backpacking in Australia, I attempted to, and it was not successful. So I was a little worried, but after doing a couple, because I've done scooters and mopeds now, maybe my sense of balance is different. So I adjusted the bike and off we went. We decided to go to the northernmost point on the island, which wasn't far. And I just felt a sense of serenity. I felt like the breeze was blowing and it was just shoreline. And if you can imagine just a shoreline that's at times rugged and at times very tranquil, but just breezes, fields, and shoreline. That's and no one else.
And we found a little picnic area by a small beach, and we had packed baguettes that we had got from a boulangerie.
In Saint-Pierre.
Because
there wasn't much on Saint-Pierre, and there certainly wasn't much in Miquelon, we discovered. But I had a feeling, and knowing there wasn't even much in Saint-Pierre, and knowing that was more the hub, I said, we found this bakery. Who knows what we'll find? Who knows what will be open? So let's pick up these sandwiches and then we know we have lunch.
So we had lunch. It was wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then we scooted around the island more and more. And we just enjoyed ourselves. We saw an old shipwreck boat that was on the land with some historical markers. And then it was time to go home. We mm-hmm. went back to Saint-Pierre. And when you say Saint-Pierre doesn't have much, it does have what you need. It does have what you need. So mm-hmm. there are a few bakeries. We went to both of them. There are restaurants.
You know, the thing about it is, the thing I found about Saint-Pierre, and again, Miquelon, it could be more like this, but because there's just less people. But both islands have a sense of, you know, they may rely on tourism, but they're certainly not touristy islands.
Sure.
I've been to a lot of islands. I love islands, by the way. They're kind of, I just have a very, very much an attraction to islands. So I've been to many. And an island that is visited by tourists, even somewhat, tends to have there are gift shops. There are shops in general. There are restaurants. Now, it's not to say Saint-Pierre doesn't have this, but you kind of have to hunt and peck. You kind of have to know where you're going. You kind of have to look for them. And like anywhere in rural France, everything shuts down for lunch.
Sure.
So 12 to 1:30, don't try to do much other than maybe going to one restaurant that does a lunch service. The other one's open at night. And then back at 2, some shops only open from 2 to 6, and that's their day.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not necessarily on your time, it's on theirs. And it's that type of feeling. I will say both islands were incredibly quiet. And maybe that's because we live in a city, so sure. we're not used to that level of quietness. But, you know, just walking around Saint-Pierre and, you know, some of the streets are cobblestone, others are, you know, roads, and certainly there's cars and they're driving them. But even with that, it had a quietness. It was almost like, are people living in these homes? You know, everyone sure. at dinner goes inside and they're making themselves dinner. There's only 4 or 5 restaurants on the island, which when you think about it, for an island of 6,000 is actually about right, because you don't expect people to eat out every day or whatever.
But we only saw that in the center of town. We don't know if in the in the like burb areas if there were restaurants that we didn't encounter.
Yes, we do, honey. Yes, we do.
There were. On the map, there were more little croissants and things.
I mean, convenience store, perhaps, that we didn't see. Or we explored that island, Marco.
Hmm.
Yes, you do. We definitely explored it.
Well, was there not a restaurant on the near the boulangerie that we went to on the other side of the island where the kids' clothing store was? There must have been a restaurant there.
No, I mean, no. We went to it. It was the boulangerie.
Okay.
My point being that, you know, French people cook, as most people do.
Sure.
But, you know, you're walking, and it has a bit of, because it's European, it has that sort of, you're saying suburb, but my North American definition of suburb is a very specific look.
Sure.
This isn't, I mean, there is no suburb,
right?
Really. You're just talking about like up on the hill versus not up on the hill versus
downtown.
But I
do want to say that the homes there were very reflective of coastal homes in North America, in Newfoundland, in that they were brightly colored.
Okay.
And they didn't really have a French style to them, but more of a Shaker style or coastal style homes.
Yeah, I would say it was a mix.
Okay.
Because you did have, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but you do have that French colonial vibe.
Only in the government buildings that I saw, not in the homes though.
Fair enough.
That one government building that we went to that had the potted plants in a wheelbarrow, that looked very
French. They weren't all stone with like, you know, the stone French cottage with the light blue shutters, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. They weren't that.
No, they
the French countryside. No, you're right. They
bright
were
orange.
Wooden, brightly colored,
lime green,
wooden siding type of clapboard houses. I think that's what you're trying to say.
Deep sea blue. Yes, clapboard houses.
Yeah.
And there were a surprising amount of horses on both islands.
But it makes sense. I don't think it is it surprising? I mean, at one time that would have been your transportation. So there's probably a long lineage of raising horses.
Sure, at one time. But our mode of transportation when we went to St. Pierre was we rented a car off a wonderful person. If you happen to go to St. Pierre, go to Marie and Fils.
Yeah.
Marie and Sons. They're an auto body shop or a mechanic shop, and they have a couple of cars that they'll rent.
They do. And it's that type of place, right? Like he has a small business. His name's Jerome. So the Fils meaning Sons, Jerome.
Mm-hmm.
Jerome is amazing. Go see him. Go to St. Pierre, by the way. Like, go to these islands.
100%.
They are truly incredible. And those who live in North America, they're actually pretty accessible right now if you want to go to Newfoundland. I mean, there are more accessible places in the world, certainly, but it was doable,
is my point. Here's how you can get there, just before we forget.
Yeah.
You can fly from Montreal, from Halifax, from St. John's, and from Île de Madeleine.
Which is another island I'm dying to go to.
Or if you're in Paris, you can fly from there direct to St. Pierre.
Mm-hmm.
Or
so there is an airport. What he's saying is there's an airport in St. Pierre, and those are where the direct flights come from.
Otherwise, you have to, or you can drive from St. John's, Newfoundland,
mm-hmm.
about 3.5 hours south, right, Amanda?
Southwest.
Southwest to the town of Fortune,
mm-hmm.
and you hop on a ferry from there. An hour and a half later, you're in St. Pierre.
Which is what we decided to do because Marco hadn't seen, well, for starters, we got the cheap flights to St. John's. And also Marco hadn't seen St. John's. And I only had been there once quite quickly for a wedding. So I was definitely happy to spend more time there. We do have some friends there.
I love St. John's.
That we connected with.
I enjoyed St. John's immensely.
Yeah. Why don't we talk about that? Or do you feel like
We have about 3 minutes left.
Oh,
I just want to.
Is that enough time to talk about St. John's?
Well, we can give a little flavor of St. John's.
Okay,
so just to wrap up St. Pierre, it was really charming. It was very French. It was very wonderful and colorful, vibrant, calm, and quiet.
There aren't many places in the world that I'm excited and happy to go back to. I would absolutely go back to St. Pierre and Miquelon. I found a magic in them I haven't felt in a while from places I've visited. They are special. They are unique. They're isolated. They are their own beautiful things. They're gems. I love them.
There's actually a small ghost town island that we didn't even talk about called Île-aux-Marins,
which we didn't go to,
10 minutes from Saint-Pierre. And it's a little island that had fishermen up until the 60s. They moved to Saint-Pierre, so the homes and the church remain there, and you can go visit that island
as well. You sail past it, and you see an island that has a church and 10 homes on it. It's quite quaint.
But Saint-Jean's, first of all, the food that we had in Saint-Jean's was exceptional.
Fantastic.
If you go, might I recommend the restaurant Portage?
Mm-hmm. Talk about it, yeah.
Yeah, it was wonderful. But St. John's is very charming. I love these towns and cities by the water mm-hmm. in Canada. Mm-hmm. Always have St. John's, Halifax, St. John. These are places, coastal cities by the water that mm-hmm. I always love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Portage was, I found it on the Canada's 100 best restaurants list that comes out every year, and it's just a little guide for people who enjoy eating in restaurants. And it was the only one I could find this year in Newfoundland. It's a relatively new restaurant. We found out after that one of the chefs had won MasterChef Canada TV show. But yeah, it was incredible. We also went to a place called Terre.
Yes.
Had a nice brunch at Terre, light-filled beautiful brunch. It was actually the hotel across the street from Portage.
We had the best fish and chips I've ever had in St. Phillips.
Called By the Beach.
Yeah,
in St. Phillips, a little bit about 10 minutes out of town. We have friends that live in St. Phillips, so we went down the road and on the beach had an incredible cod and chips, fish and chips, lightly battered, beautiful.
And I really enjoyed driving around St. John's and all the roads. There was one road in particular that was a hilly road called Hill-o-Chips.
That's right downtown in St. John's, for those who know it. And of course, the famous George Street. And we were there on a weekend, so we got to sort of walk up and down George Street and just enjoy the rowdy nightlife, which it's so famous for.
We went to Signal Hill, which was on top of the hill, and you could see for miles and miles. It was really beautiful. We went both at night and during the day. And of course, we went to Cape Spear. Thank you. Cape Spear. And that's where we posted a lot of photos that our listeners
recognize. So it's the easternmost point, I believe, in North America.
That's right.
And in Canada, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Mainland. Yeah. Mainland Canada. It's mm-hmm. the easternmost point. And it was mm-hmm. wonderful. And you didn't think we were going to go there. And I said, I'd like to go to Cape Spear. And mm-hmm. then once we were there, you were entranced.
And then I was like, well, we have to go to the southernmost point and the northernmost point and the westernmost point. So just another box of, you know, me and my checklists with travel. I try not to obsess about them, but it becomes a mission for me. And I just wanted to add one more thing. The mission is always about the journey. It's never about the destination. And it's just one podcast at a time. It's never about the end game.
There you go. So that might be our next mission. But for our mission today, thank you so much for being listeners of our podcast. Thank you for sticking by us for 8 seasons, 8 years. We wish you nothing but the best. And of course, we hope that this podcast helps you listen and sleep.